Good morning, C3. It's really good to be here with you all today. I wish it could be in person, but we'll get there. And I look forward to connecting with you and talk back a little bit later on. I wanted to start this reflection today on illuminating shadow with two readings to frame the reflection. The first is Arundhati Roy. She says, "What is this thing that has happened to us? This coronavirus that has made the mighty kneel and brought the world to a halt like nothing else could? Our minds race back and forth, trying to stitch our future to our past, refusing to acknowledge the rupture. But the rupture exists. And in the midst of this terrible despair, it offers us a chance to rethink the doomsday machine we have built for ourselves. Historically, pandemics have forced humans to break with the past and imagine their world anew. This one is no different. It is a portal, a gateway between one world and the next." And the second is Rilke. He says, "The future enters into us in order to transform itself in us long before it happens." And I'm going to just read that one more time. "The future enters into us in order to transform itself in us long before it happens." What a year, 2020. So much entered into us, an avalanche of shock and loss and change, and it just keeps falling and falling. It was a year of multiple pandemics, the COVID-19 virus, the massive loss of human life, jobs, school, social contact. And even as the coronavirus slowed the pace of emissions, carbon emissions around the world, it was still the hottest year on record in our climate change pandemic that is ongoing. 2020 was the year when the public killing of George Floyd by white police officers unleashed a torrent of protest around the world in response to the pandemic of systemic racism. In the US, it was an election year for us, one of the most polarized since the Civil War. It was a year of Proud Boys, militias, bold, armed public assertions of white supremacy, a plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan. And on January 6th, one of the most extreme displays of white supremacy and disdain for democracy in our history, when the way was opened for a violent mob incited by the president and apparently possibly aided by some in law enforcement and some members of Congress, staged a violent raid on the Capitol building. Representative Jamie Raskin, who led the resolution to impeach in the House, called it the groundwork for fascism. In 2020, Isabel Wilkerson gave us the word caste. She says it is the underlying infrastructure that often we cannot see, but is there undergirding the inequality, injustice, and disparity that we live with in this country. On January 6th, we saw that undergirding. In the midst of the global and public health emergency of the coronavirus, 2020 was a record year for gun violence in this country, a record year for gun sales and gun killings. We saw policymakers threatened by armed actors in our state Capitol buildings, health officials, election officials, members of Congress, under threat from gun violence. and this epidemic of gun violence literally hit home for my family and me this year. In September, my sister, the youngest, was murdered in her home. It was a double homicide, suicide. She's the mother of three, so you can imagine the trauma. Her killing was motivated by racism, misogyny, and the culture of gun violence, all emboldened by a bully in the White House. For some reason, my friend Clara and I had dedicated 2020 to working through a body of work by Caroline Meese called Confronting Evil. And I know C3 has been working on a series that is looking at the meaning of words. So evil is a big, snarly word that conjures up all sorts of fears and makes us want to run the other way. But it is essentially about shadow work. And we don't like shadow work. We want light and more light. But we avoid it to our own peril. Because facing shadow is essential to our evolution, our well-being, to a good life. The light that comes from an honest seeing of individual and collective shadow without bypass is a way to reckon with what is, to grow, to transform, and to evolve. A key insight from Caroline Meese's work is that evil is very straightforward. It's the intent to do harm, to defile, and destroy. It is to say, you did not matter to me. And this is what racism, misogyny, caste, war, gun violence, predatory economics, extractive industries, colonial settler ideology that is still operative in our country today. That's what they all say. They say, you do not matter to me. And that is what we say when we insist on business as usual, a return to what Roy calls a doomsday machine that we have built for ourselves. And the way we can confront and transform shadow is through our choices, the little choices that we make each and every day about how we manage our personal and collective power. This is what Caroline Meese teaches. Arundhati Roy asks us, what is this thing that has happened to us? And she calls it a portal, a passage, a liminal space. And in this portal, shadow is revealed. It's an opportunity to see and to break with the past and to imagine the world anew. So it's time to take an honest look, to make new choices, to illuminate shadow. It's a harrowing time, but it's also generative. Every choice we make in this portal shapes what comes next. Rilke says, the future enters into us in order to transform itself in us long before it happens. As a country, we made some important choices in this portal. We said no more to a leader who says, you do not matter to me, to just about everything. We chose to remove statues that glorify Confederate leaders from the Civil War from our public spaces, and to tell a different history. We chose to say no to guns in our Capitol State Building in Michigan. We chose to say Black Lives Matter because it matters. We chose to wear masks, to social distance for the common good. Yet shadow is deep. At the end of the year, I needed to write a newsletter for the Friendship Office. And as I sat with the year's events, with the heaviness of Honduras, where that doomsday machine is in full gear. Worried about Nicaragua, where the U.S. is busy plotting another coup. With the shocking loss of my sister and the impact on her children and the intergenerational trauma that generated, I was struck and blocked by so much shadow I could not write a word and could not find light. And eventually it was the stories of people choosing to confront evil, to illuminate shadow, to transform the present and shape the future through their choices that gave me light and got me through. And I wanted to share a little bit of that light with you. So in Nicaragua, my bright spot, there's an organization of peasant women in the mountains, and they're shaping the future through their choices. 25 years ago, 10 women came together, and their mission was to transform the shadow of patriarchy and colonialism that left them landless, powerless, and invisible. So they formed an organization. They called it the Fundación Entre Mujeres, the Foundation Among Women. And they made it their goal to have sovereignty over their bodies, their rights, and their seeds. They've now grown to over 3,000 women, and they promote the education and health of women and girls, a culture of sisterhood. They fight domestic violence and femicide. They practice agroecology to ensure food security. They say no to agribusiness, no pesticide, no fertilizer, no commercial seed in their growing cycle. They cultivate and save their own heirloom seeds. So at the end of a very long year, when two back-to-back climate-intensified hurricanes hit Nicaragua in November, destroying crops throughout the region, these women, because of their choices, have a future. They had land, they have seed, they have sovereignty over their bodies, their rights, and they are planting again. But that's not all. These women have sons, and their sons formed their own organization. They call it Miotl, which is a Nahuatl word. That means ray of light, the first light of dawn that gently brings about transformation. And their mission is to change the culture of sexism, to end violence against women, and to create new masculinities. These young men in the mountains of Nicaragua have a t-shirt. And the t-shirt they wear says, "I am a man who opposes violence against women. What about you?" What a choice. One Saturday, it was after my sister's funeral, and I was weighed down by the shadow of what had happened by the power of one man's choice to harm and destroy and to say, "You do not matter to me." And I was on my way to Holland. My daughter Olivia was driving. We were approaching Hope College. And Olivia said, "What's going on? There's something going on here. There's people all over the street. Is there a protest?" And I looked out the window and I saw all these signs. I saw peace. Do no harm. All are welcome here. Black Lives Matter. No human being is illegal. And it was you. It was you all standing for peace in Holland and in Grand Haven, where you stand for peace on Saturdays. You have no idea the magnitude of that choice. Your presence at that moment, that day, was my ray of light. You were my miotl. that first light of dawn that gently brings about transformation. And I want to get you all t-shirts that say, I am a human being and I stand for peace. What about you? On January 6th, I was on the phone and we were going over final text for a piece of legislation in Congress that looks deeply into the shadow of U.S. policy in Central America, and it acknowledges what is with no bypass. It says to those brutalized by U.S. policy, you matter to me. And that is light for me. And when the violence erupted, calls came in from Central America. People called me. They were concerned about our allies in Congress, who were at that moment hiding under their desks and in coat rooms, fearing for their lives and for our democracy. And these partners in Central America, who have been brutalized by US-backed coups that put right-wing extremists into power, knew what was at stake and wanted to express their solidarity with leaders here who courageously confront the shadow of U.S. policy. Leaders like Senator Merkley from Oregon, who right now is calling for the prosecution of top Trump officials for their role in the zero tolerance policy on migration, based on findings from a DOJ, Department of Justice investigation that was just released, that find that there was a deliberate intention in that policy to inflict harm and trauma on migrant families. It was deliberate intent to deter them from fleeing their countries, where U.S. intervention has put right-wing extremists into power. 5,000 people left Honduras on foot this weekend. They broke police barricades that were trying to hold them back. And word is that there's another 5,000 forming. Yesterday, a coalition of 70 organizations sent a letter to the Biden administration calling on them to transform U.S. policy in Central America to break with the deadly past of racism, economic, and military violence. That statement and that possibility is a way to say to the people of Central America, you matter to me. And last but not least, light from the horses with whom I stand as often as I can, these magnificent beings who, despite centuries of misunderstanding and abuse by human beings, continue to whisper their silent wisdom about kinship, leadership, community, peace, and the right use of power. Tomorrow, this country honors Martin Luther King, who confronted racism and militarism and who named that those two evils are yoked, a choice that cost him his life. But Dr. King also chose to leave us with a dream, a ray of light that continues to enter into us. And in this portal time, we can honor him and all who stand in that very long, long struggle by doing our part to reckon with our nation's shadow so that that dream can happen to us. We can commit each day to make choices. Choices about how we live our lives, raise our children, teach history, source our food, heat our homes. Speak up advocate for policies, choose leaders, and hold them accountable. We can make choices that say to the earth and to all of our relations, you matter to me. We can use our everyday choices to shape the future that enters into us in order to transform itself in us long before it happens. I want to close with this blessing from the Shift Network. May our shadows be illuminated until everyone is free. May our illuminated shadows inspire our path to eradicate systems of oppression and enslavement. May we courageously lead the way to truth and justice, now and for as long as it takes. Thank you, C3. Look forward to seeing you in person. We will get there. And I'll see you in Talkback in a little bit. Peace.